Welcome to the Cinco de Mayo celebration on My Car Guru. No, I'm just kidding. This is not a celebration of Cinco de Mayo. Do you even know what that is? Cinco is five in Spanish, and Mayo must be May. I think it is. The 5th of May, what are we celebrating? Well, it commemorates the anniversary of Mexico's victory over the French Empire at the Battle of Puebla in 1862. Led by General Ignacio Zaragoza. So now you know. A poorly equipped and much smaller Mexican force against a much larger French army was a big morale boost for the Mexicans, although Zaragoza died months after the battle, and a larger French force ultimately defeated the Mexican army at the Second Battle of Puebla. So they did good on the first one, and they didn't do good on the second one. But they celebrate the first one. So you want to celebrate what you do good, and that's what they did. So now you know the rest of the story. Thank you, Paul Harvey. All right, so what else is going on? Well, I'll give you a health care update. So I've got to have a stent procedure done on, on this coming Monday. I've got to do a CT scan, and they want to scan my arteries in my leg, I guess, to make sure that they are okay for transplanting, just in case they have to do bypass surgery. So I have a 90% blockage on a main artery and then a 75% on another one. So they feel pretty competent. I hope they're competent. They feel pretty confident that they can go in there and fix it the following Monday. They are going to have to give my heart a little boost with this pump, so that they can work in there for a while. It's not like just going in and putting a stent in, which, you know, seems like it's pretty routine stuff these days. This one's a little more complex. And so it's kind of in a bad spot. And also with the coronary artery disease, which I apparently have, too much calcium. That's what it is, calcium. Yeah, I went up to Johnson City a few years ago with my wife, and we had the calcium screening. And hers was great, totally clear. No calcium for you. But apparently mine was the worst she'd ever seen. I may have mentioned that. So that's when it's handy to have a cardiologist for a brother. I'm not looking forward to this. I wish I could have it done tomorrow. You know, it's the waiting. For me, that's the problem. You know, waking up at 3 in the morning. Oh, no. Well, I'm not panicking. I just have faith that God's not done with me yet, and so we'll see. You know, I'm going to get that done. I just dread getting up so early in the morning. I have to be at Park West Hospital at 6 in the morning, so I'm going to have to get up really early in Greenville. It's about an hour and a half to get down there. So my lovely bride is going with me, probably my daughters too. We'll make it a family affair and hopefully make the best of it. But that being said, let's talk cars. Oh, before I talk cars, I do want to talk about some interesting stuff from the Book of Lists. Do you know what the Book of Lists is? Am I emphasizing my S's good enough for you? This is the Business Journal Book of Lists for 2022. And when you go through here, it gives you rankings of different businesses and schools, banking and finance. Basically, it tells you who are the biggest and or have the most sales or have the most students, that kind of stuff for education. But it's a book that really breaks down what's going on in Upper East Tennessee. Accounting firms, credit unions, local banks, regional banks, tells you who the big dogs are and the people that are not so big. Hospitals, colleges and universities, advertising and marketing firms, general business. Biggest golf courses, you know, and volume of play, I guess. But what struck me was the major employers in the Tri-Cities region. Who would you think would be the number one employer? No, it's not Eastman. No, it's not even Ballad Health. It's Food City. That's right. KVAT Food Stores in Abingdon employs nearly 18,000 people in 56 locations. Founded in 1955, Steve Smith, his father, was the founder of the branch out of, what was the name of that town where they came from? Can't remember, but it's up in Virginia. I keep wanting to say Galax, but that's not it. Sorry that I can't remember. The other side of that company, when they bought out Food City, it was actually called Food City, and it was located in Greenville, Tennessee. And a guy named Lionel Humphreys was the founder of that and president at the time. But anyway, KVAT Foods, number one employer. Number two is Ballad Health, 13,000 plus. I guess they couldn't add. Eastman Chemical, let's see. Eastman Chemical Company, 6,500 employees, founded in 1920. East Tennessee State is next at 3,993. Let's see if anything. And the school systems, you know, they employ a lot of people. Kingsport City Schools, 1,350 folks. You know, it's amazing how many major manufacturers there are down here in little old Greene County. Some of the biggest employers are in Greenville, like Sumo Rico. They have 930 employees. Walmart Distribution Center has 800. Boy, that's a busy place. You ever been in a Walmart Distribution Center? Well, you know how big a Walmart is. And, you know, they have such a diverse product line. I mean, everything from groceries to mink stoles. Well, maybe not mink stoles, but they have a huge selection of hunting gear. But they've got everything. And but the distribution center has to pretty much have everything to supply the stores all around it. So there's a lot of traffic go in and out of that place. But it's fascinating. I would not want to work on the loading dock. Because, you know, every store, they get these truckloads, and every store needs different, you know, needs different things. They sell out of stuff, and they have to replenish. An amazing logistical miracle, I guess you could say. Landair Transport is located down here in Greenville. They have 700 employees. So, when you look at this, you think, where are the biggest employers? And you would think that they would be in Kingsport and, you know, the larger towns, the actual Tri-Cities, not the Tri-Cities region, but Johnson City, Bristol, and Elizabethan. I'm kidding. Johnson City, Bristol, and Kingsport. Let's see. What else is on here? Well, that's about all that I really found interesting. I mean, the hospitals are the number one hospital, of course, is Ballad Health. Or the actual biggest hospital is Johnson City Medical Center. They've got, how many beds do they have? 331 beds. That's where all three of my children were born. Holston Valley is a second with 241, and Bristol Regional has 200 beds. I just thought you might want to know that. As far as universities, East Tennessee State has 12,750 students. That was the total 21 through 22 enrollment. In the fall of 21, they had 9,725. I wonder what the difference is. That's interesting. The second largest, institution of higher learning would be Northeast State Community College. Holy cannoli, they have 3,251 students. Where's Tusculum? Tusculum's 1,340 students. King University, 1,420. So anyway, it has nothing to do with the car business, but, you know, sometimes I see interesting things that I want to talk about, and I feel like if you don't get to see it, then look what you'll be missing out on. So that's what I try to do on this Cinco de Mayo celebration. So I'm going to take my first break and give you a rest. I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. You know, Mother's Day is coming up, which makes me very sad, but also very grateful. And it's the first Mother's Day I won't have my mother with me, but I know that she's with me. And so if I were buying her something, it would probably not come from the place that I'm getting ready to tell you about, because my mother was not into leather. But if you happen to have somebody that's into leather, I would like to make a little recommendation. It's called Colonel Littleton. I found my first Colonel Littleton item at a Mass General store many years ago, and I've been buying their leather ever since. But they have everything from cup holders to pocketbooks to bracelets to briefcases. I've spent a fortune with them. You might have a leather lover for a wife in your house, and if you do, then they might appreciate something from Colonel Littleton. So I showed my wife one time. I said, would you like to have this ladies' convertible backpack for like Christmas? She said, no, that's not me. And I get it. You know, some people just don't like leather and canvas. But it's, to me, it's a great combination. So anyway, it's just a little suggestion from a leather lover. And they also have it. Lately, I've been buying everything in buffalo. So they have a combination of cow leather and buffalo leather. And they have alligator, too. So ColonelLittleton.com and tell them Lenny sent you. I'm sure they'll say, who? Okay, let's talk cars here for a minute. I was walking through the showroom just moments ago and looked under a 1988 Toyota Land Cruiser that I purchased at an auto auction in Florida. And I paid a lot of money for that thing. And I looked underneath, and there is a drip on my showroom tile in the Ford showroom. And it's red. What is that? What is that fluid that's red? That's correct. Transmission fluid. Should it be doing that? Absolutely not. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, cars leak. Probably the most likely leak you're going to find is going to be an oil leak, because there's so many different places that oil can come from as far as the engine is concerned. Typically, the valve covers will leak. And sometimes when the valve covers leak, that it will get on the exhaust manifold, and you'll smell it. You'll smell like a burned oil smell. I can't really describe what that smells like. Maybe you'll know it. You might even see some smoke. But that's, I don't know whether you'll see smoke. If you do, run. But if you don't, and you just have this kind of a sick smell, then that's probably burned oil. And it's probably leaking from your valve covers. So where else can it leak from as far as your engine? Well, the rear main seal, that's a seal that is at the end of the crankshaft, that can leak. That's expensive. You've got to pull the transmission out. Sometimes you have to pull the engine in certain cars, but most time you can get to it by just dropping the transmission and getting to the very back of the engine. Different cars are, you know, they're all designed differently, but that's can be a serious oil leak. You know, when oil, and then also the oil pan. You know, oil pan is a likely place. But one of the most common places for it to leak is the oil filter and the oil drain plug. So if you go to a service station or a Jiffy Lube place or a car dealership and you have your oil changed, not a bad idea to check it the next morning and make sure nothing is leaking. Now, if you see a drip, it may not be because something is loose. If you drive it around for a couple hundred miles and then you park it and you see a drip, then you need to get back to wherever you had your oil changed, unless you can check it yourself. Because they've got something has been left loose, or they could have, and this happens a lot, they cross-thread the drain plug when they're putting it back in. I know they shouldn't do that. They should know better. But sometimes technicians get in a hurry, and when they're, you know, they unscrew the drain plug and then they screw it back in, it gets cross-threaded, and they just go ahead and tighten it up. Or they, you know, sometimes those have little gaskets, little rubber gaskets on them that will seal, and sometimes they get cut. So, but it's important that your oil's not leaking, because over time it'll mess up your garage. And also, I mean, you could actually lose enough oil over a long period of time to cause your oil to be low, which can destroy your engine. So just check it. I mean, one thing I would do if I got my oil changed, since sometimes they get a little sloppy when they're putting oil back in the engine and it drips all over the valve cover and drips down. Now, they should clean that up, but a lot of places don't. They're in such a big hurry. And so when you pull into your garage, just get a cardboard box or some paper towels and just lay them down underneath your engine. And then you'll be able to see, catch anything so it doesn't mess up that beautiful concrete in your garage or your Spanish tile that you may have in your garage. So oil is light brown. If it's black, it's just because the oil is dirty and you've probably gone too long and not changed it. If you see a reddish or a light brown thin consistency, it's probably either power steering fluid or automatic transmission fluid. Both of them can be serious. You ever turned your steering wheel and you hear it go, So it sounds like a cat or maybe a tiger. But that means that you're probably low. Hopefully, you're just low on power steering fluid. Now, you can check all of those. It's harder today than it used to be. At one time, you could actually raise the hood and see the engine. Now they want to hide the engine from you with these big plastic covers. Why do they do that? Well, they don't want you messing with it, quite frankly. They want their dealers to handle that for you, but you are fully capable of checking your own fluids. You may not want to, but you're capable of it. But if you see anything dripping out the bottom, that's the wrong place for it to be coming out. So watch out for that reddish or light brown fluid. If you see a drip coming around your wheels, then that's not good either. You may have also noticed a spongy brake pedal. You know, if your brakes feel really spongy, I mean, they used to stop so much better, and now you have to really push in harder. You could have a master cylinder bad or something like that. More than likely, you got a leaky wheel cylinder, and so brake fluid is leaking out onto your wheel. And, you know, brake fluid is very damaging to wheels and anything that gets on. It'll eat right through it. So it's important to not lose brake fluid. And if you see that, I guess it could be a do-it-yourself fix. You could have a fitting that's loose or something. If you feel so motivated, you can get under there and make sure the fittings are tight if you can get to them. I'm probably not going to do that, though. I'm probably going to take it to the shop. It helps when you own a shop, but it's better. It's almost as good if you just have somebody that you trust and can take it to and say, hey, I'm getting some drippy fluid underneath my behind my wheels. And they'll say, well, that's probably brake fluid. Let us check that out. So you definitely want to check that out. If you have a drip and you have a rear-wheel drive car and it's dripping underneath the rear axle, then that's differential fluid. And it's important to get that stopped, too. It doesn't hold as much fluid as your engine, but it's very, very important. If you start hearing a grinding noise in your rear end, you know you probably let it go too long. Now, it may not be because you're low on fluid. It may be of another issue, but differential fluid is something that can leak out and mess up your driveway. You know, the one that you can actually smell and you can see is any type of coolant, you know, stuff that goes in your radiator and keeps your vehicle cool. It could be yellow. It could be a kind of a brilliant green. It could be pink, but it's very slimy. It's like a very thin consistency. And the thing about it is you can smell it. It has a unique smell. Ethylene glycol is what it is. You know, if yours is yellow also, you want to make sure that you use yellow fluid to go back in. You don't want to add the wrong color. You're better off adding water than adding the wrong coolant. The reason, I don't know why they do it, I guess just to make sure that you come back to their dealership. There is probably a chemical difference between the different fluids, minor though, but they're designed, you know, the engines are designed by engineers and they want a certain type of fluid chemistry as far as keeping the car cool. And so just make sure that if you got green, you're putting green in. If you got pink, you're putting pink in. And then you'll be safe. You won't violate the code of the engineer. So let's take our last break, and I'll be back here in just a minute. You know, there's nothing more insulting. Well, maybe there is. But let me make my statement anyway. There's few things more insulting for somebody to assume that you should know something. You know, and you really have no business knowing it. Why would they assume that? Well, it's because they have a high level of expertise in this particular area, and they think everybody else should. That's why a lot of people get insulted when they go to a repair shop, because lots of times they talk over their heads. That happens when I go to a computer store. That happens when, you know, maybe I go to a nursery. Not a children's nursery, but like Evergreen Garden Center, and they start talking plants and fertilizers and stuff. I mean, I'm lost. I just let my wife do all the talking, and I just, you know, pay for it. But, you know, when it comes to cars, a lot of people go in and they start talking this car language, and they act like, you know, well, surely you know what I'm talking about. And it's okay not to know. And it's okay also to go up to a service advisor and say, would you mind please explaining this in layman's terms so that I can understand? Or maybe you could demonstrate it. Show me. Take me to my car and show me what you're talking about. If somebody says that you need to replace a $1,500 part, I'm going to want to know. I'd like to see it. You know, I'm going to want to talk. I might want a second opinion. You know, I'm like with my heart problem, I've got, I'm getting multiple opinions, and I'm doing the research and stuff like that too. And I think that's a smart thing for me to do, don't you? And I think you ought to do it when somebody says you got to spend, like if somebody says you need a new engine, your engine's shot. I'm going to want a second opinion on that. And if they get insulted about that, then pooey on them. I mean, I think that people should understand, and why did my engine fail? You know, why am I having to pay this extra? I thought this was under warranty. You know, those types of questions. If you run into those kind of issues and you feel a little lost, you feel like they're talking over your head, then you can always call me. I am available, 423-552-2020, and area code 423. That's the best area code. These people live in 865 and places like that. They don't know what they're doing. 423 is the place to live. Wouldn't you agree? Well, unless you live in North Carolina. I don't know what it is. 704? Is that what it is over there? Give me a call, 423-552-2020. Or send me a text. Tell me what's going on with your vehicle. You know, what they're telling you. I'll be glad to give the shop a call. I do that. And talk to them. Say, tell me about Mrs. Johnson's car. She told me, this is the car guru, by the way. She told me that you guys said she needed an engine. Would you mind telling me why she needs an engine? And sometimes I'll let my service manager talk to them if they start talking over my head. You know, that's possible. So this is a service that we provide through My Car Guru. It's why some people listen to this radio show. Others listen just to see what the heck I'm going to say. So find out. I'll be back on this radio show tomorrow, and we'll see you then.